This is the Packer and Durham Podcast, Hour 1.
How's the voice? Pretty good?
I'd say you're C-.
Really?
Yeah.
That high?
C-.
No, I heard you. I said that high.
Maybe, for the time being.
It's not good. The vocal cords are about shut, which a lot of folks are probably enjoying.
There are a lot of people in the afternoons happy.
Well, you know, the afternoon show yesterday got cut short. I got about 10 seconds into the show yesterday.
And you were in trouble.
And I was like, this is not going to work at all. And it didn't. So it lasted about an hour.
All right. So good morning with Mark Packer, Wes Durham. By the way, part of today's show, I'm editing on the fly here.
Go for it.
Part of today's show, home remedies for Packer's voice.
Yeah, Wes gave me one 20 minutes ago that I was not going to go for that.
Well, because it involves
needles.
Yeah, it does involve needles.
That's not happening.
And Robert confirmed. He's like, yep, that's what it's going to take.
No, I'm not going for needles, boys. You'll see me in the ocean before you see me with a needle.
Oh, no, here we go. So 844-SAY-ACC, and we have a fascinating show today.
You normally do.
No, but we really have an interesting show today because we've been debating a topic for about 2 weeks. Casually.
Maybe longer than that.
Yeah. You surmised a look at that.
Here's my notes on this one.
Look at that. And I'm glad Iowa football sends out those
they do.
Those awards notepads every year.
And I use every page of them.
I know you do.
I love them.
We started talking and having a conversation about the run Clemson was on. Now, this was in the season.
Right.
And now that Clemson's gotten to the precipice of a potential national title, consecutive national title, it's worth having the discussion of, is Clemson's current regime, that run, better than Florida State's 70-2 start in the ACC in the early 90s? So we'll get your calls and thoughts on that, 844-SAY-ACCN. But you've got data.
Now, we gave a stat a couple weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
That's now even been updated because Clemson won their bowl game. Virginia Tech did not. Why I bring that up is because this senior class, Clemson's senior class as we speak,
right,
has won 55 games.
Okay.
The next closest class in the ACC mm-hmm. in terms of wins is Virginia Tech at 33. So the difference is plus 22. With a chance to be plus 23 with a W on Monday.
Right.
And that got us thinking about, man, you know what? Florida State was so fantastic in the 90s.
Correct.
How did the Florida State regime in which Bobby Bowden finished in the top five, what, four times? I mean, 14 straight years
of top
four.
Five.
I think they were in top four, yeah. But nevertheless, it was so spectacular.
Yeah.
So how?
And playing real people, by the way.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's no question.
Yeah.
So what we did is, given what Clemson is doing as we speak, mm-hmm. with this senior class being so dominant over everything else within the league, is that similar to what Florida State did to the ACC back in the 90s?
Right.
So we looked at it that way.
The other thing we talked about, and this is the part worth bringing up, and here is where Clemson stands. Now, these are Florida State's senior classes dating back to their entry into the ACC, 1992 being the first year.
All right, so the class of 95 on this screen, 92 to 95, Florida State, which was so doggone good, right? They had a advantage. That class won 43 games, right? And again, keep in mind the schedules were different and everything else and what have you. But Florida State had won 9 more games.
Right.
Than the next closest ACC team, which happened to be North Carolina, in that first slot of 92 to 95. So when you go through here of what Florida State did in the 90s and see what their class did, class after class after class, versus the rest of the ACC, you notice, for the most part, they're single digits. North Carolina, by the way, was the closest in the first 4 years here. That's 9, correct. The 8, the 6, and the 8 were all North Carolina.
Right.
But it goes to show you in terms of we keep talking about the quality of the league in the 90s versus the quality of the league this decade. That's a separate debate. But it goes to show you how dominant Clemson is right now at plus 22 over everybody else in the conference. And Florida State's best run in that whole incredible run was plus 14.
Against Georgia Tech.
Right.
Well, technically Georgia Tech and Carolina.
Right.
You could argue those 2 years were the highest of their first of the 70-2 run.
Right.
So, now, for full disclosure, we stand on two different sides of this argument.
We do.
Mark thinks that Clemson's path has been easier now than Florida State's, right?
I do.
I don't agree with that. I think what Florida State did was, I think Florida State lifted football in the ACC. I think this is a much better football league now than it was in the early 90s when Florida State came in the league. I used to use the term and still use it. The ACC got in the football business. Florida State forced that in the early 90s. Resources, coaches, facilities, stadiums. At one point, we had an arms race on football stadiums in this league where of the 9 schools that were members of the ACC, within 7 years, somebody had a major project on their campus related to football and their stadium. Dan Kendra. I always like to see some Dan Kendra video. Is that Kez McCorvey?
And they were so good.
Oh, good. Ridiculous. Gosh. Oh, no, that's Stringer. Well, there's Charlie in the fast break. But I think what Clemson has done now has been against much better competition. You don't think so?
I think the top of the 90s in the league was better. I mean, those North Carolina teams were good in the 90s.
Oh, yes, sir.
Georgia Tech had good teams in the 90s.
Yes, they did.
Maryland, while they were in the league, mm-hmm. eventually found it at the tail end as we got into the new century.
Right.
I think what Clemson has done in this decade is nothing short of sensational. I mean, I'm not so sure that that's not been the best-looking team you'd ever want to see
right.
from that perspective. But the league's different too, Wes.
Oh, yeah.
You start talking about we got 14 teams now in the conference.
Yep.
And so I think the bottom part of the league versus where it was in the 90s, it's not even close. It's not even close. I mean, and so it is kind of an apple and an orange thing versus just where this league is in terms of the landscape. But what you cannot deny is that Clemson's greatness, as we're watching it right now, versus what the rest of the conference is doing, Florida State didn't dominate like that. Did not.
And here's the historical side of this. If you want to go through the nearly 70-odd years of ACC football, right, you want to take that part on. In the nearly 70-odd years of ACC football, these are the two, without question, because I went back and looked this part up just to make sure, these are the two most dominant stretches in ACC football.
No question.
I mean, by a – not far and away, but pretty significant.
I don't know if we will ever see – in this league, and I know Clemson's on an amazing run, but anybody trying to match Bobby Bowden's run of top five finishes, I don't know if we'll ever see that.
I don't know that we'll see that nationally.
That's what I'm talking about.
Nationally. I don't know that we'll ever see that.
You know, Bama has been fantastic, and I know they're getting closer to that number. I think they're at 11 now, but this is going to get snapped this year.
Bama's had 9 straight 11-win seasons.
It's going to get snapped this year because they're not going to finish in the top five.
Right, correct. Yeah.
I mean, I know they won their bowl, congratulations, but they're not going to be in the top five.
Well, I think Nick said yesterday at the Tua presser that they've had 9 straight years of 11 or more wins.
So Clemson's got a chance to do that, but I mean, you know how good you got to be in this college football playoff era? I mean, you got to dominate your league to get in it and then hope that the committee agrees with you. I mean, there have been some really good teams in the Big Ten that have gone 11-plus, mm-hmm. didn't even get in the tournament.
Right.
So you're not in the top four. So I'm not sure we'll ever see what Bobby Bowden did at Florida State. But in terms of a snapshot of a year or two of the best team versus the rest of the league, what we're seeing Clemson do right now, we may never see again either.
Right.
I mean, they're on another stratosphere.
Mm-hmm.
They are.
Yeah.
The numbers don't lie.
So 844 say ACC, and we're going to get into this topic: Clemson or Florida State or both.
Yeah, and that's the other thing.
If you want to be like me and ride defense, you can say both.
Yeah,
I happen to think that Florida State.
I couldn't help but notice on Twitter yesterday.
Yeah,
there were some people that really enjoyed 6A, 8D.
They did.
9F.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I can't laugh because it hurts.
I just wanted to make you feel better.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, I'm glad you got a laugh out of it.
Appreciate it.
Because I know you're having a bad day.
Oh, it's been a bad 2020. I got to be honest with you.
It's not been good for you. So no. Far. We got to get you to New Orleans and get you some food and get you some, you know, some specialty beverage.
Well, all the things you just mentioned are a lot better idea than what you told me about a half an hour ago. Because that idea was not going to happen. Vitamin B in a needle. I'm like, what are you talking about? Give me some pills or something. I'm going to take a stinking needle. Forget that. I'll just shut up for 3 days.
Didn't you see North Dallas 40?
I saw North Dallas 40. That was 100 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And it still works. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, I do. Yes. Those of you that haven't seen North Dallas 40, there's a Netflix or Amazon challenge for you or whatever you want to call
there's
it.
There's Nick Nolte when I need him.
Phil Elliott.
Nick.
Yeah. Seth Maxwell.
That's it.
The late John Matuszak was in that with Bo Svenson.
Oh, I tell you what, if you're sitting at home watching this show and you had North Dallas 40 in the first 10 minutes of the show, congratulations, you just won the jackpot. I can't even imagine that one.
North Dallas 40, that's a great movie, wasn't it?
It was.
Oh, that's a great movie.
But I want to get back to Florida State's classes again. You know, I think it's interesting.
What's my daughter's degree got to do with this?
No, classes, like senior classes. Our actual topic. I do think it's interesting that when Florida State joined the league and dominated in football, when you look at who is the next closest team or teams to Florida State in that run.
Right.
And I'm just going to rattle them from 92 to 03.
Sure.
UNC, 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 the first five. Georgia Tech, Georgia Tech, Georgia Tech, NC State, Maryland. No Clemson. Interesting, right? Now, keep in mind, Danny Ford gone, Ken Hatfield in, and really Clemson football from the early 90s when Florida State got into town.
Well, Tommy West finished. He was let go at the end of the 98 season.
And then comes Tommy Bowden.
Tommy Bowden came in and took a couple years.
I mean, Clemson football, for the most part, went about 15 or 20 years where it was just okay.
Well, you also had scenarios where Clemson was close but couldn't cross that bridge.
Yeah, but close being like 8-4, 9-3 close.
I remember a 2000 game down there one time where Kerry Watkins made a one-hand catch in the back of the end zone.
Oh, no.
And that was an undefeated Clemson team, and people were excited and all that.
I got you. But they were never what we're talking about today.
No.
They were never what Florida State was in the 90s.
No,
is
sir.
My point.
No, sir.
So, but those North Carolina and Georgia Tech teams and Philip Rivers' NC State crew and Ralph Regan's Maryland guys,
yep,
they're good clubs.
I agree. All right, we got a lot of people want to voice their opinion, thoughts.
Don't use voice opinion. That's kind of.
What's your voice? You make you feel bad?
Oh. Get that cold, clammy feeling.
We got the boys here. Chester, Fuller. Fuller's on high alert.
How's Chester doing?
Chester's sleeping. Fuller's on high alert. 844 say ACC, and we got a big show. Seth Greenberg will be here later in the show.
Hands. Can you imagine if Seth Greenberg and Nick Saban got face-to-face? Could they possibly strangle each other having a conversation?
Yeah, they could. Unintentionally.
Yes. I mean, not trying to hurt them. They could be best of friends.
Yeah.
And punch each other in the face.
Because if you look at what we've done, we've got things set. And if you take what we have, everything will be better. All right. Seth Greenberg, Andrea Adelson, Brandon Childress is going to be here.
Rocking.
Deke's coming off a big win at Pittsburgh and yes, getting ready for a home tilt at the Joel on tomorrow night. So we'll talk to Brandon Childress as well. All that. Busy Packer in Durham. Your phone call's coming up next. 844-SAY-ACCN. And we got plenty to go. In fact, we got some new basketball rankings. What in the world? Does America need to know what Florida State is? We'll get the Noles covered and more. Packer and Durham, it's a Tuesday on ACC Network and SiriusXM 371.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham. It's going to be very Lou Rawls-like show today.
Barry White. Yeah.
That's what we're going to do. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number. And like an idiot, I get closer to the microphone thinking like that's going to help the voice. A moron. All right. You okay over there? You and Fuller doing all right?
Fuller's on high alert.
You told me that.
Yeah, yep. I'm talking about you, big boy.
Yeah, an avocado toast to get you, boy. All right, let's take some calls. Bruce in South Carolina is up next. Bruce, how are you?
Voice is a little better than yours, fortunately. What you said earlier, the Ford, when they forced Dana Ford out, Hatfield got handed a Corvette, and he ran it into a smoking Chevette. They had the material in that team to challenge for the national championship in 90, easily. So,
well,
you know.
They had a great, Bruce, I appreciate the call.
Thanks.
Danny, you know, had incredible teams in the 80s, but there was a reason he was forced out.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the problem. I mean, there was a lot of politics. Not that I'm going to waste time on this, but there was a lot of politics going on, too. That was a power broker. I talk about this all the time. The president, the AD, and the coach had to be on the same page.
Right.
Clemson in the late 80s, early 90s.
Was not on the same page.
Was not on, not only was it not on the same page, you had a situation where the coach said, hey, here's how we're going to do it. The president said, no, here's how we're not going to do it. And now, bam.
Right.
And the thing just blew up. And you know what? It got into a case where, all right, who's the biggest man on campus? And you got the answer to the question.
If I remember correctly, and I'm drawing a blank on the president's name.
Probably Atchley.
If I remember correctly, the president did not take kindly to the post-game Danny Ford-Monty Kiffin exchange, correct?
Well, that was even earlier.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
That was early
80s. But that was when the... That was when some of this process, that was 82, 83, wasn't it?
That was early 80s.
And then some of the other stuff after that was the postscript, right?
Yeah, I want to make sure I got the right president because Ashley was there. I think Lennon was there. I'm not sure which one it was, but he got it.
Bill McClellan, late Bill McClellan was the AD for a while.
And then Bobby Robinson.
And then Bobby Robinson.
Golf coach.
Golf coach. And
with us.
Yeah.
Then Penley took over the golf. Bobby Robinson became the AD. It was just a total cluster. I mean, that was a power broker routine. You've seen this before at other places. It's not exclusive to Clemson.
Yeah. No, it happens a lot of places.
Yeah, and it just got to be that, hey, no, here's how we're going to do it. We're going to have athletic dorms. Or, no, we're not going to do that.
There you go.
And then it just got out of control. And
right. The
bottom line was the president said, no, you know, here's how we're going to do it at Clemson. And, you know, we can do anybody can come in here and run the football program. Well, they found out that wasn't the case.
Right. I do remember the president was completely in on the Hatfield hire.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah, that was almost like singularly his call.
No doubt. And that was one of those, hey, we're bringing in Ken Hatfield to clean all this stuff up, and he's going to play by the letter of the law, and he's going to, if I say jump, he's going to say how high.
Right.
And Ken Hatfield had good teams, but he also inherited incredible talent. And he did not recruit to the same level.
That's correct.
And so all of a sudden, you know, double-digit winning seasons became 8-4, which eventually became 6-6, and that was the end of Ken Hatfield.
Right. Let's go to Phil in New York. Hi, Phil. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Happy New Year.
Good. Thanks. Yeah. You too.
Right. I got to jump in quick. I got to say it's Florida State all the way because, you know, looking at college football through the years, if you think back, even especially like, you know, in the Charlie Ward era with Florida State, everybody's spread offense that they're running now, it's Florida State's fast break offense. And even when you think about it, you know, they were saying how that wouldn't transition to the future. I mean, if you look at that Florida State offense, everyone's doing it now, including the NFL. Could you imagine, like, with the success of Lamar Jackson, could you imagine if Charlie Ward went to the NFL?
You're exactly right.
You can't argue with that.
No, I'm with you, Phil. I think that when you talk about Florida State, and again, I think Florida State, Clemson's doing this for all of their success. Clemson is doing this against a much more, in my opinion, much more difficult ACC, a much more enhanced ACC. Florida State was doing this against teams that had football teams. They didn't have football programs, if that makes sense. Now, the thing about Florida State, when they arrived in the ACC, Florida State arrived in a league where they were setting a standard every snap of the ball. Okay, there's just no getting around that, by the way. And that guy right there was awesome.
Boy, he was indeed.
By the way, Ron Dugan's on the staff at Florida State under Mike Norvell, by the way, announced this week that he'll
quick,
be retained.
Just to make sure we get the numbers right here. Max Lennon was the president at Clemson during the
head-to-heads
with Danny Ford.
Okay.
Right.
Mike in North Carolina. Mike, how are you? Fuller barking at himself this morning, which is always fun. Hi, Mike.
Hi, guys. I'm a Noel, so I'm biased, but both of them are great teams, obviously, programs in their era. Just pointing out some differences in Florida State. Number one, I think you guys have noticed that Florida State's run started in 87. So,
correct.
A number of years before they would have dominated in the ACC if they were in the ACC in those years, undoubtedly.
I don't agree with that.
From a scheduling standpoint, it was very different. Florida State, when they came in the ACC, let's take 93 as an example. Three non-conference games are Kansas, and Kansas was good back then, Notre Dame, and Florida. Mm-hmm. Now, that's the type of schedule that they had through the 90s on their non-conference games that the Clemsons of the world, et cetera, are not doing now. Not Clemson obviously plays two SEC teams, but plays two walkovers. In addition to that, Florida State wasn't playing those sort of games in the 90s. Just take a look at their schedule through the years. You know, ESPN just came out with what if the playoff was in effect through the 80s and 90s. Florida State would have been in the playoff, I think they figured 15 out of the 20 years. So quite a run.
Yeah.
Clemson's run is fantastic as well.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
A couple things I'm going to disagree with, Mike.
Oh,
I agree with the vast majority of what he just said. If you remember, Clemson in the late 80s was dynamite.
Yeah, they were.
Now, remember, Florida State Clemson played. The Punt-Ruski game
88
was incredible. One of the best games I've ever seen.
September 1988.
One of the best I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Those Clemson teams, without question, in the late 80s, would have been more than competitive with Florida State. Now, if you remember, I believe the year after, they went down and won in Tallahassee.
Mm-hmm.
And from a scheduling standpoint, I wouldn't say home and homes with A&M, homes and homes with Georgia, home and home with Auburn, South Carolina. I wouldn't say those are walkovers. That's just my opinion.
All right. Let's go to Clark County, Nevada. It's a little early.
Nice.
But Steve's with us. Hi, Steve.
Hi. Love your show. Watch you every day a couple of times. And I'm a Florida State guy, and the only thing I just woke up.
That's all right. The next three of us.
You all have already covered, but Florida State. If Wes is always talking about, like, what Florida State did was when the ACC wasn't very good, or wasn't as good as it is today. So why don't you just take it nationally? And Florida State, and I don't know what you all have covered yet, but Florida State was number one in the AP poll 72 weeks, number one. So that's nationally.
Right.
I believe Clemson has been number one in the AP poll for 16 weeks.
Sure.
So,
There are a lot of ways.
I think Clemson is doing wonderful, and everybody at Florida State loves Dabo. He's everybody's favorite. But, you know, if you're talking nationally, Florida State was number one for 72 weeks, and Clemson has been number one for 16.
Okay. All right, appreciate it. Good call. Thank you very much.
Appreciate you watching the show here in Vegas.
You too,
Brother Fuller. I think Clemson's been number one more in 16 weeks.
The man just woke up.
So did I.
You've been up since like three.
He just woke up,
and he's in Clark County, Nevada.
I appreciate it. And we're hoping
things went well at the Golden Nugget last night.
Well, he might have been calling from the Nugget.
True.
If that was a bark or bite, I'm going to say bark. I'm going to go, thanks, Fuller. I'm going to say bark. I think they've been ranked more than 16 weeks at number one.
Okay. All right.
Well, you agree or disagree with that?
I, I'm just – the man just woke up.
I forget the man
waking up. I appreciate the man calling from Vegas at 5 in the morning.
I'm asking you.
Actually, 4:30.
Over and under at 16. I'm going to go way over at 16.
Okay. We'll put our crack staff on the back row and at work.
All right. By the way, the back row today, John Hank Lewis. John Hank Lewis. Cosmo is not working today. We got LJ in the back room. And Spencer's in the radio room.
I hope Lewis has gotten some gear because he's been here too long not to have gear. Lewis has been a regular.
Lewis is every day.
I hope Lewis has got gear.
I mean, this is show 93. I think this is Lewis's 93rd show.
All right. We got basketball tonight on ACC Network, by the way. We got a full slate coming up the next couple nights for you. Tonight, 7 o'clock here on ACC Network. Jay Alter, Malcolm Huckabee have the Cavaliers and Eagles presented by GEICO. That'll be followed by Virginia Tech and Syracuse with Chris Cotter and Chris Batola. It's a busy night, busy two nights of ACC basketball. And when we come back, Jay Billis, who will join us on Thursday's show, says Duke is the best team in the country. And this might be their best opportunity to run away and hide from the rest of the ACC. We'll get your thoughts on that and more about Florida State Clemson football when we continue on Packer and Durham.
Man. Packer and Durham.
Chrissy's the best.
Chrissy's messing with me. The death stare. So, you know, that's exactly how I looked at 1 o'clock in the morning and looking in the mirror today. Just like the Blue Devil right there.
What am I doing?
I'm going, I got no voice. I got no voice. I can't talk. How are you going to do radio and television with no voice?
Nice.
All right. I had to get Fuller out of here for a second.
Time out again?
Fuller's in timeout.
Okay.
He's upstairs with Mrs. P having coffee.
All right. A couple of things here to pull from Jay Billis's ESPN.com.
And I read that.
Offer yesterday.
It's really interesting. I know you mentioned that Jay's going to be with us later in the week. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I thought his take on officiating was really intriguing. Mm-hmm. Where he basically said it's not an official's problem, it's an officiating problem with college hoops. I think he's right.
He also writes that, quote, on a relative basis, Duke might be in a better position to win the ACC and the national championship as in any year Coach K's been in the big chair. Thoughts?
I don't know if I'm going to agree with that.
Okay.
Because it's such a wide open world right now in college hoops. Now, Duke's one of many. If they stay relatively healthy, and that's a big if because Wendell Moore Jr. just is going to get ready to have surgery on his hand. He's out indefinitely, and Duke's really had an injury bug. So, I mean, you got to be healthy for the stretch run of February and March. And, Wes, I just don't know that there's just not a dominant team. Now, when Duke's really good, can they win it all? Without question. But, you know, I go back to some of his all-time great teams at Duke.
Right.
Those teams, you sense they can win a national championship. And I'm not telling you Duke can't. Mm-hmm. I just think it's such a wide-open race.
I want to point out an interesting note here, though, that – and this goes back to what Jordan Cornette was talking about last Tuesday night when we were at Cameron doing the Boston College game. This is, by by Duke standards, okay, this is a very deep basketball team. Now, does it have a dominant star on it? Is there a J.J. Redick? Is there a, you know, is there a dominant guy, a Christian Laettner, a what have you? Not yet. Could there be? Sure, absolutely. Could be Trey Jones. Could be Vernon Carey. You don't know. Could be somebody else. But Duke's depth, this is a deeper team. Mike Krzyzewski's not been, you know, his bench has never been more than about three. And now with the Wendell Moore injury, he's still got nine pretty good basketball players he can go get. Now, are they averse to slumps and things like that? Absolutely not. Jack White's been through one last year, may go through another one this year. Cassius Stanley's off to a good start now when healthy. You look at all the pieces, especially Carey and Jones to me. I think they got a chance. Matthew Hurt, Joey Baker, certainly better this year than he was in limited looks last year. I don't disagree that they're a really good team. However, this is more of a conversation, as you said, It's more of a conversation about the landscape of the game.
Yeah, I totally agree. Listen, I like this Duke team. They're getting better, too, especially sure. Trey Jones out. I think some other guys had to step up and during that period of time, and they did. As you mentioned, their bench right now is playing and producing consistently. We're not used to seeing Duke have 10 guys who can score. We've always thought they did, but they never really had that.
Well, they never had 10 guys now. I mean, by the time we get to mid-February, not 10 guys.
No, it'll get whittled down in a
rotation. I said that with Jordan the other night, and I'm not sure it gets whittled down.
You don't think so?
I didn't agree with it when he first said it because it's an outlier of his 40 years, Mark.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to ask Jay on Thursday. When's the last Duke team had more than 8 guys in the rotation?
Well, I mean, really, that's always been a fun question, too, to coaches, is how many guys do you need? 7, 8? I mean, Bobby Crimmins sometimes will tell you 5. Leonard Hamilton will tell you 12, right? I mean, everybody's got a different number.
Well, Leonard Hamilton today tells you 12. Leonard Hamilton 16 years ago wouldn't tell you 12.
Oh, but today's when we're playing.
Right.
But it's always interesting to me what coaches think the number needs to be, what they're comfortable with.
Sure.
And you get into a rhythm and a rotation of guys getting used to play in terms of minutes, production, et cetera, et cetera. This Duke team, to me, seems deeper in terms of what they're getting off the bench than I can think of really any Duke teams in recent memory.
Well, we're going to get Seth Greenberg here in about 10 minutes, and we'll talk to him about this topic as well. Also, who is responsible for challenging Duke? Louisville? Chris Mack's not happy right now, by the way. Chris Mack had some cuts yesterday from his post game on Saturday night where he essentially talks about the fact that he's not getting seniors, fifth year guys, Ryan McMahon, Dwayne Sutton, guys like that, to give them stuff every night. They need to be giving them points. They need to be giving them rebounds, good defense, those type things. So Florida State, all those players they've got. And by the way, Florida State, oh, by the way, you're in the top 20. Congrats. What in the world? Florida State's got to be nationally. People are sleeping on this crowd.
Well, they're in the top 10 in the latest rankings. Jay Billis has them, I think, 17th off the top of my head.
We'll talk to Jay about that.
Okay. The NCAA net rankings don't even have them in the top 25, which, as we said yesterday, is outright comical. Florida State's a good club.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you on that. I'm
right now, I think they're the second best club in terms of playing the game today.
No doubt.
Now, they made a statement in Louisville over the weekend.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
They took it on the road and dictated, hey, here's how the game's going to get played. Now, it doesn't mean it's going to end that way, but, you know, right now, Florida State's going to be feeling pretty good about themselves.
Yeah. MJ Walker healthy. Sign up for some of that, right?
Yep.
There's Trent Forrest. He was great with us yesterday, by
sure
the way.
Was.
Enjoyed having him. So, we'll keep an eye on the Noles. By the way, in Winston-Salem tomorrow night. 7:30 on ACCNX.
And that's one of those be careful games. Wake's feeling good about themselves, right?
Well, Brandon Childress will be with us later in the show, too.
They're coming off that comeback against Pitt down 22-6. Yep. And Danny Manning had to suspend a couple guys.
Well,
they still got it done.
Here's the other part. Guys like Olivier Saar, Isaiah Musius, they're starting to kind of develop and mature a little bit for bigs. Now, they really have not had a go-to lockdown big since John Collins was there.
And Wake's got pieces. That's one of the things we talked about the Deeks before the season started, that they had 2 or 3 pieces, Wes,
right,
on a given night could light you up.
Mm-hmm.
And they've already kind of proven that already.
Yep.
Not only within the league, but even outside the league when they knocked off Xavier.
All right. So we're going to get into more basketball conversation. We're also taking your calls this morning on Florida State of the 90s and Clemson's current run.
By the way, for the record, according to Wikipedia.
Oh, no.
No, because I said I thought the number would be higher. I'm assuming our caller got the info off Wikipedia because Florida State's been ranked number one in the AP poll 72 times, Clemson 16, which is what he said.
Okay.
I just want to say that.
Are we going to go with it? What's the standing with the Lumberjacks on Wikipedia?
I'm just saying.
Because your birthday is March 10th on Wikipedia.
According to Wikipedia, right, it's got me March 10th, right. You're all over it. I'm 32 years old.
Wikipedia once called me a homer on the radio, too.
That's actually a badge. That's a badge of honor, isn't it?
When I was doing Georgia Tech, they called me a homer. Not a homer.
I mean, well, the play-by-play guy is supposed to be.
Well, but in this case, it's They also said I was critical of officials all the time, too.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, I know from your standpoint.
So when you were at Georgia Tech doing as the voice,
mm-hmm.
couldn't just say that, voice, you were in a homer on the air? You weren't rooting for Georgia Tech?
I was not a we. I've never been a we, us, or our guy.
Really?
We got a guy and they got a guy. No, I was not Munson. No.
You didn't have the pom-poms out?
No, sir.
Did Georgia Tech people take offense to that?
Some did. Some didn't like it. Others loved it. Also wasn't critical of them either. Just did a game. That's what you do now.
You're just the middle road guy. So I got no problem. It's just me. I have no problem if the play-by-play guy for a school. I don't care what the school is.
Yeah.
Roots like crazy on the air
floor. I know. Yeah. So, although there's some cuts that you probably could see that I might have been a homer.
So, well, I know one game you were.
What game was that?
Well, at NC State when those people were giving you a hard time in the parking lot before the game.
Yeah.
You were homer that game. I didn't ever heard the broadcast, but I know.
At the end of the game?
Yes.
When Georgia Tech won the game?
Yes.
And Gordon Klingscale scored the winning touchdown? And NC State got knocked from the ranks of the unbeaten.
You were
and
homer.
There would be
that,
no trip to the Fiesta Bowl.
You were homer that day.
Yes, because I sent him across the street to ride the Tilt-A-Whirl.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little twinkle in your eye that day.
I enjoyed the walk out of the parking lot.
A little venom.
And by the way, for those of you who have inquired, and there have already been two people ask, this was not issued by NC State or Louisville. This was issued by Adidas Golf. Just happens to be red.
Whatever makes you happy, man.
Because I could wear it to the Sunday job every once in a while.
I mean, you know, people think you're a Louisville homer anyhow, so it'll fit right in.
You know what I told everybody?
Yeah, I know.
We love all and serve all, don't we?
On this show, we do.
We do. We love all and serve all.
But as soon as you walk through those French doors, it's Georgia Tech all the way for West Durham. It's a Carolina slash Georgia Tech thing. As soon as you walk through Elon, the mighty Elon, as soon as you walk right through those French doors, it all changes.
That's why I have it right here. Yes, every sir. Time somebody wants to know, I'm all about Apex High School.
I think you should pin that thing on your sweatshirt.
I think I'm all about Apex High School right here.
It is.
All right, when we come back, technology reigns. Seth Greenberg's going to join us.
I hope it works.
Seth Greenberg will be with us. How many guys does Coach K need, Seth, to win Jay Billis's predictable national championship? Also, Florida State finally getting some respect. And who else is a potential contender in the ACC? Packer and Durham continues on a Tuesday on ACC Network, SiriusXM 371, always on the ESPN app.
There's crispy, and then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Packer and Durham. In the basement. Chester Fuller in timeout.
By the way, it's not getting any better when you get closer to the microphone.
I told you I was an idiot. I keep thinking if I get closer and talk softer, maybe I can get through this.
All right, let's go live, shall we, to the swank suburbs of Connecticut.
Oh, look at him. Look at that right there.
So, well, we got some. I've noticed as this segment has developed, we've gotten better lighting, better technology. Greenberg looks like he's in a club.
He looks like a cast off of the Sopranos. You know, he just got done taking care of a little business. Now he's going to do an interview with us idiots in the basement.
Yeah, there you go.
Doesn't get any better than this, though, boys. Doesn't get any better.
Let's start here, Coach Greenberg. Jay Billis has written yesterday that he thinks this is Mike Krzyzewski's best chance to do a couple things. One, win a national championship, and two, run off and hide in the ACC.
Well, first of all, to win a national championship, what, does he have five of them? It's not his best chance. He's done it multiple times, so he's already done it. So it's not like it's never been done. Billis, come on, it's all semantics. I'm going to give you a break here. So it's been done multiple times, Jay. I know you didn't win one. You got close, but those teams after you were pretty good. Look, their team this year in relation to the field, probably better than most. When you look at the landscape of college basketball, their roster, they've got a great balance between youth and experience. They've got an elite point guard and obviously Trey Jones. They've got a legitimate dominant post player who can also step out, Vernon Carey. They've got experience in guys like Jack White, Javon Delirier, Alex O'Connell that help those young guys come along. They're back to being Duke. They were Ook for a while. That's Duke without the D. They're back to being Duke now. They really get into you. They turn you over. And then Matthew Hurt. You know, when Coach K has a stretch four, they're always a little bit better. And Hurt right now, last four games, I think it's 14 points, shooting about 65% from the three, really knocking down, shooting about 65% and really shooting the three. So in relation to the landscape of college basketball this year, I'd say he's close to being correct. But when Billis comes on Thursday, remind him that the guy's won a couple already. So when he's closer to winning one,
yeah,
he's already done that.
Okay. Jordan Cornette and I were doing the Boston College game last Tuesday night, and he was quick to say that he thinks Duke has got 10, they're 10 deep. I countered by saying they may be 10 deep in January, or in that case, New Year's Eve. But Jordan, the question is, how deep will they be in mid-February? I know that when you worked with Jay Williams, and I've known Jay long enough to know, we always used to laugh, Duke might be 10 in January, they're 6.5 to 7 in March. Is this the outlier of Mike Krzyzewski? I mean, let's assume Wendell Moore is back healthy after the surgery. Duke is legitimate 10, Seth. Are they going to be legitimate 10 in March?
I think they will be. Again, this is a different team and this is a different landscape because of the makeup. First of all, he usually didn't have 10 guys who could play. He usually had 8 or 9, and then he had a couple of huggers at the end of the bench, kind of like what Jimmy V used to have back in the day. So this is different. Plus, I don't think they have that much separation within their team. And I think that's really important. Look, they have pieces that fit, like Goldwire. He can really defend the basketball. So if he wants to pick up the intensity defensively, Goldwire is going to come in the game. If they're really struggling shooting the ball, Joey Baker is going to come in the game. I think he's a big X factor for them, another guy who can make a shot. O'Connell gives him a little bit of depth. If he wants the energy up or the physicality up, you know, Jack White comes in the game or Javon Delaurier comes in the game. So I think he will play those guys. Me personally, I always thought 8 was the number. A point guard backup, a wing backup, and a front court backup, you develop a good chemistry. But I think this Duke team is a little bit different for Coach K. He's shown that he's playing his bench, and they've delivered, which is more important.
Seth, I think we need a hugger on this show. We need a few huggers down here in the basement just to get us through this thing.
The huggers are a timeout.
Yeah, that's exactly what we need. Florida State cracks the top 10. You buying the Noles as a top 10 team?
From the beginning of the year. I think they're the Rodney Dangerfield of college basketball. They get no respect. And each and every year, what do? They're right in the conversation in recent memory. Yeah. If you think about this team, it's no different than last year's team. They lose two guys to the NBA. MJ Walker comes off the bench and knocks down 23. Patrick Williams can come in and dominate the game offensively at a 6'9 freshman. Trent Forrest is an elite defender. Raekwon Gray is kind of a poor man's Draymond Green. They've got incredible depth in their front court. They come at you in waves. They defend you. They embrace their opportunities. They've got a toughness about them, and they can really shoot it. Devin Vassell, every time he shoots the ball, you think it's going in. Leonard Hamilton, not only is the youngest-looking 70-plus-year-old guy in the world, but they now have an identity, and it's been this way for the last 5 or 6 years. They defend you. They turn you over. They get to the glass. They play freed up offensively, but with discipline, they're taking better care of the ball. Florida State is the real deal. Florida State's a second weekend fixture right now, in my opinion, and a team that can challenge Duke because of their depth and their toughness and their style of play.
I saw NC State on Saturday. You're going to see them tomorrow night in Raleigh. The Wolfpack has moments, Seth, but for every moment they take advantage of, they still have a slight tendency to give it back like they did last Saturday at Clemson. Give the Tigers credit. They played well. They played hard. They played together. But if NC State's going to take the next step, that's a game you got to win, right?
Yeah, on the road. Now, without C.J. Bryce, they're a different team. C.J. Bryce, the best rebounder, the leading scorer, a guy that's been with, obviously, Kevin Keats his whole career, who understands the system. They're not guarding. They're not guarding the three. They're not turning people over as much. They're not as active. And he's got to get Markell Johnson kind of buying in. Markell Johnson playing with the basketball too much, not playing with enough sense of purpose, not making plays to make others better. He's got to be better. That ball screen defense has got to improve. I like their team. I like Helms. I think he's really going to be a terrific player. I think Manny Bates – He's got to be able to be a little bit more active in their ball screen defense, recover back a little bit, but he can block shots. I do like their team. I think it starts with Markell Johnson. When your seniors, your upperclassmen, don't take control of your team and coach your locker room and are there each and every day, that's a hard team to coach because those guys set basically the tone for your team.
All right, who's on alert tonight? Virginia Tech or Syracuse, since they play here on ACC Network at 9 o'clock?
Virginia Tech plays
Syracuse. Who's on alert tonight?
I think Syracuse. I mean, I think Syracuse is going to win that game. I think that they'll get out to the three-point shooters. I think that Virginia Tech, people have settled in. And I'm a huge Mike Young fan. I'm not big, but a huge Mike Young fan. Most times I find out when Jim Boeheim's back is up against the wall, they figure it out. Girardi the other day started to shoot the ball well. Buddy Boeheim's playing a little bit better. I look at this Virginia Tech team, and people just, you know, the longer you're in the league, you know, Mike Young was kind of a big question mark in terms of how they were going to play with this team. Not how he can coach. He's not a good coach. He's a great coach. But the more tape you have on a team, the better it is and the easier it is to understand what you're going to give, what you're going to take away, who you're going to force to beat you. And the one thing about that Syracuse zone, it's not a normal weather vane 2-3 zone. What it more is a flexible changing 2-3 zone. They'll push out on certain guys, back off certain guys. I think in this game, in this moment in time, this is a game that Syracuse figures out a way to win.
Seth, you buying Notre Dame making a move here? That was a big win for them on the road at Syracuse over the weekend. They seem to find it.
Yeah, I'm starting to buy in. And look, get old, stay old, they're older. Those young guys are not starting to grow up. They're starting to shoot the ball. Last five games, they're shooting over 40% from the three-point line. They've got a little bit of toughness. Every time the ball's shot, you think Mooney's going to rebound the basketball. But to me, it's Prentice Hubb, it's TJ Gibbs. They're starting to give Mike Bray consistent minutes. Dane Goodwin comes off the bench, knocks down jumpers. Now, losing Rex Pfluger, if he doesn't play, it's a little bit of a concern because it's not his points. It's not his assists. It's his leadership. It's his toughness. It's his ability on a free throw to pull guys together and let them understand what we have to do in this moment in time. But I am buying Notre Dame. Juwan Durham's giving him some shot blocking at the rim. Mooney's rebounding the ball. And Gibbs is really playing well. Look, they don't foul. They don't turn it over. They've got a toughness. They're starting to really shoot the basketball. I like the way they're playing.
All right, Coach. Safe travels. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow night. Seth will be with Mike Cousins on ESPN2 for Notre Dame at NC State. That's at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. We got a lot of hoops here the next couple nights on our family of networks. Appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Seth Greenberg, always a staple of the Packer and Durham program. Quick first hour, man. Moving right on.
Easy for you to say.
We're going to get to more of your calls on Florida State Clemson at 844. Say ACCN, Andrea Adelson coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. And let me tell you what else we got for you, big boy.
Brandon Childress.
Brandon Childress in the 9 o'clock hour.
Power hour.
We got conference cuts.
Lots of them.
Yeah, we got conference cuts. We got basketball conference cuts. We got football conference cuts. Tigers at the microphone yesterday, Mark, talking about our game Monday night.
Ever since I started doing Frank Howard impersonations, I'm now starting to sound like Frank Howard.
Stay tuned. Packer and Durham on ACC Network.